Then a motion to come out of executive session into regular session.
Right here.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We're now back in regular session. Mr. Moore, any possible action on executive session items?
Mr. President, we discussed the pending litigation and land acquisition. As indicated on the agenda, there is nothing to vote on today.
And motion to go into public hearings.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Burton, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to read the rules of procedure for County Council zoning hearings. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken in consideration by the Council in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with Council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendations made by the Commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, Council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the Council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, Council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the P&Z Commission deferred action, Council will do likewise. And Mr. President, the first hearing today is change of zone number 1839 filed on behalf of Dale Lomas Seashore Highway Associates. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis or Hobith 100, Sussex County, containing 4 acres, more or less, located on the north side of Lewis-Georgetown Highway, Route 9, approximately 590 feet east of Joseph Road, the tax parcel district 334, map 4, parcel 37.04. Staff would note the information submitted into the record includes the staff analysis, the business memo from Planning Commission that includes their minutes. Planning Commission did hold a public hearing on December 21st. At that point, they deferred the application. On their January 11th meeting, they actually recommended denial of the applications for reasons 1 through 8. Since then, we have received one letter in support. It's Dale or about the rezoning. My only request is whatever you choose to build, you do it in good taste, aesthetically appealing, perhaps some natural materials. Consider the neighbors me that I do not have a cinder block wall marking my property line or a boat RV parking storage ground, please. And then they just ask if they already have a plan. And that is all I have. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from council? If not, Mr. Davidson.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates, located just outside of Milton, Delaware. I'm here today representing the application for Seashore Highway Associates, LLC. My client, Mr. Dale Lomas, unexpectedly had to go out of town for personal reasons and is not able to be here today. I'm sure most of you may know Mr. Lomas. He's a local businessman. He owns several commercial properties throughout the area. Most notably, one of the ones that he does own is the Atlantic Liquor Store, located down on Route 1 and Old Mill Landing Road. As I'm going through my presentation today, I am working in the negative here because there was a recommendation for denial with 8 reasons. And what I would like to do is, through my presentation, I'm going to address those 8 reasons that were given by the Planning Commission, and I have comment on those reasons on how they came up with their recommendation for denial. Also, at the Planning and Zoning hearing, there was one person in opposition, Mr. Jim Griffin, and I am going to try to address some of his comments that he raised during his part of the public hearing so that I can provide some clarification as well. But I'm going to, in order to not be very long, I was going to address these concerns as I'm moving through my application on this. As introduced, this is an application to rezone 4 acres of land that's zoned AR1. It's on the north side of US Route 9. It's on the south side of Penn Central Railroad. Penn Central Railroad, from what I understand, is currently being considered for a rails-to-trails program that this part of the railroad is being looked at for that program. But the railroad does immediately abut on the north side of the property. On the east side of this property is a portion of land that's already owned by Seashore Highway Associates. It's zoned CR1. It's currently has builder supply of Delmarva located on this property. Also on the property was located Grizzly's Landscape Service. The sign's still there, but they've since, I think, moved their location to Route 1 just outside of Milton, Delaware. We are also in the vicinity on the west side of our property is a residential piece of property. The letter that Ms. Cornwell just read into the record in support is from Mr. Drexel Davison. I do have another copy of that letter if you would like it. He's the one who sold the property. He was the owner of the 4 acres of property that sold the property to Mr. Lomas, with the understanding that knowing that Mr. Lomas was going to come in and file for an application. Mr. Lomas did buy the ground as AR1, and he was going to file the application for commercial to add it to his existing commercial lands on the east side of the property. I can tell you that the existing commercial property, which is parcel, this parcel here, is approximately 3.8 acres. This 4.8 acres added to it would bring it to 7.8 acres of land. Building Supply of Delmarva is looking to expand their facility in their current location. They've asked Mr. Lomas that they need about 6 acres to do that. The remaining portions of land in that expansion of their facility, the remaining portions of the lands would most likely be used for stormwater management and other utilities. And I'll get into that as I move through my presentation. Mr. Lomas has owned the existing parcel of commercial land since 2008, and then he purchased his 4 acres back in 2016. Building Supply of Delmarva is a company that serves the local area. And one of the comments that came out of the Planning and Zoning Commission was that in order for zoning to happen in a particular area, or in this particular area, that it serves the immediate need of the residential and agricultural uses within the area. Well, Building Supply Depot, and all this is in the booklet that I handed in, the exhibit booklet. You'll find these all in the back, and the findings, as well as other exhibits for my presentation. But Building Supply, they sell windows and doors. They sell custom-designed kitchens, bath cabinetry, kitchen and bath countertops, hardware, interior stairs, trim and door packages, flooring, roofing, siding, of the like. I mean, they supply the immediate area. And again, what we're looking for here this isn't a large commercial rezoning. We're looking for something to add to an existing commercial that's already there. The opposite, Mr. Griffin stated that these were old rezonings in the area. It was also stated by the Planning Commission that the property is surrounded by residential and old commercial lands over 20 years old. I don't see what the issue is with its zoned commercial. If it was done 20 years ago, it was still zoned commercial. So back then, obviously, it was right for the zoning to happen at that time. And I don't see where that played as a factor of a finding to recommend denial of this application, that just because it's 20 years old or older that the zoning occurred within these parcels. And again, it's the parcels that they talked about are, let me get to the zoning that's here. It's these parcels that are marked in red right here. Back in 2000, and the reason I only circle half of this parcel 37 here is that back in 2011 we came in from Mr. Lomas. Only the front portion of his property was zoned commercial. Back in 2011 we asked to have the back half of the parcel 37 zoned commercial. And then you're talking about these parcels here. Again, this is within an area that's already zoned commercial. We're not asking for it to be scattered, as the Planning Commission used as one of their recommendations for denial. They talked about an untimely condition of scattering of commercial zoning. This isn't scattering. This isn't spot zoning. This is placing a parcel of land that's 4 acres. It's zoned agriculture, but it's not really right for agriculture. It's about 700 feet east of the closest ag farm, although it's been used for crops in the past. I don't think in the future it's going to be a piece of property that's going to be able to continue to be used for agricultural crop production. That would mean that the farmer would have to take his pieces of equipment across down Route 9 and to only farm 4 acres of land. In my hearing book, in the exhibit booklet, I provided a copy of the survey, and there's some topography on that survey. There's a 9-foot difference in elevation from Route 9 to the back of the property. It's a sunken piece of property. The properties on either side are much higher than that piece of property. So to even think about trying to do something residential with the property, as the commission and the opposition had indicated at the hearing, it's not a very ideal piece of property for residential either. So being able to take this piece of ground and add it to an existing commercial, allow the existing business that's already there to expand their use. And again, that's what they're looking to do, is to not move their facility, but to expand it, and needing about 6 acres to do that. This would allow this to happen in this existing area.
Mark, can I interrupt you one sec? Sure. Just got a question. You got three circles down, the off-colored red that's next to the present Building Supply. What is that?
This right. This here?
Nope, the next one over. Is that part of Building Supply?
No, it's not. It's an adjacent parcel that's zoned.
It was the old Stamper place.
No,
Stamper's across the street, but I think he owned that also.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, I think years ago.
I believe this is an antique store right now.
Yeah, Bemis back there.
So what got the back zoning later?
Mr. Lomas, and let me use blue. Mr. Lomas,
the front. Right.
He owned this whole parcel here, but when he bought the parcel back in 2008, only this front portion right here. Only that portion there was zoned commercial.
Is that C1? Is that under
the... It was C1, but when the application went through back in 2011, the entire property, Mr. Lank had introduced it as the entire property being rezoned to CR1. So the entire property now is CR1.
Okay, so the front half was 20 years ago, the back half was '08.
In 2011, correct.
2011. And then Charlie Steele's place, is that an older C?
That's correct, yes.
As old as Lomas as well?
I would imagine, yes.
Been around a long time.
It's been around, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And that's the that's where Charlie Steele's gun shop is located.
Right. Tell me about the guns store.
In the 2008 comprehensive land use plan, talks about the future land use element part of the comp plan, the area proposed for rezoning is in a low density area. And I provided a table, which would be on page 3 of my findings of facts. In that table, it talks about table 8, which is for the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update for future land use element. Table 8 talks about recommended densities and uses. At the planning and zoning hearing, Mr. Griffin referred to my table and my findings, but he only talked about half of that table, and he talked about the left half talking about the comprehensive plan use. In that, it talks about low density, and he talked about agricultural residential area, allowable units based on 3/4 acres, clustering allowed to half acre lot size. That's what it talks about. But what the table indicates and what it's part of in the future land use plan, it talks about applicable zoning districts for the recommended densities and uses. So he talked about densities. I'm talking about uses. What are the recommended uses in a low density area? And one of the, as outlined in the table, commercial residential district, CR1, is one of the recommended uses in a low density. And I'm going to I'm going to state something else about that in just a few minutes, but as I go through my presentation, I just wanted to point that out, and again, that's part of some of the facts that were put together, those 8 facts that were put together by the Planning Commission to recommend denial, that they stated part of the future land use, but they didn't look at it as a whole, they just looked at a portion of it. Article 11A, as commercial residential, section 115.83.1, defines the purpose for a commercial residential district as follows. The purpose of this district is to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a wide variety of commercial miscellaneous services activities generally serving a wide area and located particularly along a certain existing major thoroughfares where a general mixture of commercial and services activity now exists. That's the purpose of a CR1 district, and that's what we have here. We're along a major thoroughfare, US Route 9. Commercial activity already exists along here. Again, as I'm stating for the record, Mr. Lomas, and he does own the adjacent property, is looking to expand what's already on his existing property for builder supply of Delmarva. One of the key guidelines, and this was mentioned at the Planning and Zoning Commission, and Mr. Griffin he outlined this, was there's several ways that in the county comprehensive plan for when the county wants to determine growth areas and determine areas for commercial areas, there's several guidelines that you must follow. In my findings to the Planning Commission, I just identified one of them. I just said that one of those is along a major thoroughfare. I didn't mean that was it. That was the only thing, but I did identify it. So in your exhibit booklet I have provided, all the additional factors that you use to determine whether this is right for a rezoning to commercial. Part of that, we are on a major thoroughfare. This is US Route 9. DelDOT in the book has supplied their service letter stating that there's approximately 14,000 to 18,000 vehicles a day that travel US Route 9. So in identifying, that was just one of my major uses. There was concerns raised by both the Planning Commission in their findings and as well as Mr. Griffin in his opposition that additional traffic. But again, what we're looking to do is expand the existing facility, and I know there's no guarantees of that. Once you rezone a piece of property to commercial, it could become anything under that commercial under the commercial heading within the zoning code. But what we're looking, again, what I'm proposing on the record here is to talk about, and although this isn't about site planning, this is about the use and about the right place for this zoning, is that we're looking to expand. So some of the other, it talks about the proximity to incorporated municipalities. We're not anywhere near, we're located on Lewis Georgetown Highway. Again, outside of Lewis, it does have a Lewis address, but we're not anywhere near the municipality. The presence and existing of public sewer and public water nearby. If I may, and although I wouldn't normally submit this, this is part of your future land use plan. This is the CPCNs and the water and sewer, but it was mentioned by the future land use plan that you're currently looking at was mentioned by the opposition, and then it was talked about by the Planning Commission in their findings to recommend the denial. So if I may, I've got copies here.
Sure. Thank you.
And one of the aspects, what was brought up at the opposition was that we don't have any water and sewer served to the site, but this isn't an area that is, the property is located in the North Coastal Planning Area. So sewer service is being planned. What I'm handing out, and if I may, since Mr. Griffin is here, can I?
Sure.
This shows and I've circled in red right here. I know it's kind of small. I'm just having trouble printing out any larger than this. But it kind of shows you what's in the area. And the county's in the area. We're smack dab in the middle between where the county is, where Artesian is, and where Tidewater Utility, all serving water and sewer within this area. We are in the North Coastal Planning Area. So although I can't sit here and say that it's going to be here within 5 years, we are along U.S. Route 9. If you look at the future land use plan element that the new comp plan is coming out with, they are talking about growth and emerging growth areas within, along this corridor of U.S. Route 9. Matter of fact, there is a, within this portion of Route 9, and again, if I may hand this in, I'll get to this, and I'll explain why I'm handing these in from the future land use plan. If you look at where it's circled there, this is in the future, and this may change now that I'm bringing this to everyone's attention, but this area is identified as a developing area in the future land use plan. So the county is recognized, and the county's consultants and your land planners have recognized that this is an area that's going to grow. So this is an area that is, so for water and sewer is being planned for along this corridor. Again, I can't identify that it's going to be here within 5 years, but if the applicant, my client, decided he wanted central water and central sewer, he would apply for the CPCN, whether through the county, although we're not contiguous, or he could file, because Artesian's in the area, he could bring water and sewer to the site. No cost to anybody but the applicant himself. So that's one of the things. And again, I've talked about the location on and near the major road on the property. Again, located is a principal arterial. It's U.S. Route 9. The minimum right-of-way along this road is 80 feet. My client will be dedicating his portion of right-of-way to make sure that this right-of-way is an 80-foot wide right-of-way in the future. He will also be dedicating an additional 15-foot permanent easement for pedestrian access way across the front of the property. And not only this property, but the properties that he owns adjacent to it as well, when he goes to, if this should be successful in the rezoning and he expands his uses on site, he will have to do it for both properties as well. The character and intensity of surrounding development, including proposed development. The character of the surrounding development is both commercial and residential. The intensity of the surrounding development is smaller scale commercial properties and residential properties becoming commercial along U.S. Route 9 and additional along U.S. Route 9. If you go back to the map, you'll notice that in my map here, let me get rid of some markings here. The other, there are, you've got Millman's Appliance Steels Gun Shop, all located on commercial properties right near the property. You have the Beeman's Antique Gallery, which is a zone commercial. And then you've got several other properties in the area that are continuing, these residential uses along Route 9 are continuing to be zoned, they're conditional uses, and the houses are turning it, or the vacant lands are turning into commercial uses through the conditional use application. And then, most recently, the large commercial rezoning that happened was the Stamper's Farm, where Habitat, the Restore for Habitat Humanity, that portion of property there was zoned commercial sitting, and again, there's nothing adjacent to it, but it was rezoned to commercial for that particular property. I think it was the old antique store, and they sold other goods off of there, and then Restore purchased the property, and now it's the Habitat for Humanity Restore. So the character of the neighborhood, although I understand the opposition's concern that he's across the street and there's residential primarily across the street, again, where I'm not asking for to take a separate piece of property and rezone it to commercial, we are adjacent to existing commercial. So we recognize that. We recognize the fact that there is commercial across the street, but again, in the vicinity of where Mr. Griffin is, his property is, a current conditional use for shed sales was recently approved for the property just down from his from where his residence is. And it talks about relocation relative to major preserved lands. There's no major preserved lands anywhere in this area here. Again, we are adjacent to the Pennsylvania Railroad, which is being considered for a Rails to Trails program in the future. Ideally, commercial might work well situated right against that railway and against that although I don't think bikers and pedestrians walking along that's going to go to Builder Supply Depot and buy a door and try to walk it back to their, or bike it back to their vehicle. But I knew from the past when Rails to Trails was being proposed in Lewis, a lot of controversy happened when they tried to propose that against residential neighborhoods in the Lewis area. So this being rezoned to commercial makes it an ideal situation where Rails to Trails can continue to move through without opposition. And then there's the environmental character. The property is not in a flood zone. The property is not in a groundwater management protection zone. There are no wetlands on the property. I talked about the there's 9 foot of elevation fall from the road all the way to the back of the property. It is, if you have been by the property, if you look at the property, it's kind of in a bowl. It's very sunk in. It's not, and then I talked about how stormwater for the property would be entirely on site. There is no off-site discharges, so you're not talking about any downstream adverse impacts for stormwater management. So,
is there stormwater management currently on the lumberyard site?
No, there's not.
Because it predated it.
It predates the stormwater regulations. It got rezoned for a fence company, I believe, and I think Shore Fence was there at one time, and Grizzlies was there, and there might have been some other types of uses there. So the building and the parking and the uses and everything have always been the same there. So it predates the stormwater. Also predates the access for entrances. So if this application were approved, if this rezoning was approved and they go to expand, the existing site as well as the proposed site here will be brought into conformance with both DLDOT and the stormwater regulations. Fire protection, everything will be brought into compliance at that point because they will be expanding the facility.
But that would be only if the properties were joined.
If they decide to,
was to be zoned commercial, you would have to then combine the sites to.
That's correct.
To do what you stated.
That is correct. Yes. Okay.
Quick question, Mr. President. You mentioned earlier that the property does not have public sewer, correct?
That's correct.
What does the current building use?
My
It's an on-site septic system.
On the one that's next door.
On-site septic.
So if this was approved and you expand that business, how is that going to play out in your current existing system?
If we would have to redo the system. The system's old, too old to be able to be have it reused. So a new system would have to be designed for either on-site, or if we find out that sewer can be served within 5 years, the county and the state both allow a temporary holding tank. Building Supply Depot, again, is a very low water user. There's really essentially no water. It's just maybe a couple of bathrooms and that's it. So we're not talking about a lot of wastewater use out of this. So it would be feasible for them to just to do a temporary holding tank on site until sewer was available.
Okay. I just want to make sure that was addressed because I think that was part of your record. So, okay. Thank you.
Is this Harbison?
And then the last thing that one of the determinations about rezoning this commercial is how the area ranks for the Delaware State Strategy Policy Spending. And as I state on the record, we're in a level four area. We're very near the level three, but no matter what, we're in a level four. And again, as the opposition, Mr. Griffin, talked about was in a level four area about state infrastructure expenditures in the area. Again, I've never known the state to spend a dime on any one of the projects I've ever done in the state. It's always been the applicant who's designing the project. They spend all the money. They bring the, you know, if the sewer's not in the area, they bring the sewer to the property. If the water, the water. Any off-site road improvements, and I'm sure you've heard many times before about traffic impact studies and off-site road improvements to intersections down the road that have to happen during those times. All these improvements are borne by the applicant and the owner of the property. So being in a level four, there's really no state expenditures that or any type of infrastructure improvements that are being asked for by the county or the state or anyone else. Everything that will have to be improved for this property will be borne by the owner of the property. So
Where currently is sewer on that? I mean, where's the closest point that sewer is brought?
The conditional use here is artesian water. They have a plan to do one of their facilities there as well. Sewer and then...
What is that? CU-17-1. What is that?
I believe that is their... that's a conditional use for them to be able to do... some of the rapid infiltration basins or wastewater treatment facility area.
Oh, that's their site.
That's artesian site.
Artesian site. Okay.
We're approximately in either direction. We're about 3,000 feet away from the next closest one is down here by the dairy farm.
So they have sewer down here by the dairy farm.
This subdivision back here,
a big subdivision.
Okay.
That subdivision back here, so I believe it does come down there.
Okay.
So we're right in the middle of all these districts, and then Tidewater is mixed in there as well with their water and with their water districts. But if you look from these maps here, you can see, and again, it's very small, but it's on your website. You can see where the CPCNs are for the properties within the areas here, for the county, for Tidewater and Artesian. Well, this is where they're currently serving it, and then they have future CPN on the second page. You can see where some of the future stuff is, and it's directly in this area. It's across the street. There's several properties willing to join in once Artesian. They right now they're making a huge investment on that in their infrastructure, taking their designing their sewer, and they're bringing sewer and water up and down Route 9 from the Harbison area. They're bringing it down, and they're actually extending sewer all the way up into the Milton to their wastewater treatment facility. So they're making the investment. They do have a wastewater plant down there towards the Lewis area, I think right there next to Lewis Shores or something like that. So they're in the area, and they're making these expansions.
But there is no date.
Not a date yet.
No. On when any of that will be served.
No. And again, the site being, if this was approved and commercial, and once building supply expands, we would be doing something on site temporarily until the sewer was available along the frontage.
Okay.
And the last thing, what it talks about in the comp plan is in designating growth areas, Sussex County applied
those guidelines that I just talked about, you apply these guidelines broadly. The county views these guidelines as important but not absolute. So the guidelines are helpful criteria, but they are not meant to be inflexible standards that all growth areas must fully meet. So that's stated in the comp plan. And again, I've provided enough information here on the record that I wanted to kind of talk about how that was how the opposition, again, when Mr. Griffin came up and gave his opposition, he talked about those issues that I only stated one fact, but there's many other factors that we do meet. But it's not an absolute guideline that you follow because, again, there's other several zonings within this area here that have been approved that are scattering, as the Planning Commission states it, whereby we are adjacent to an existing. We're looking to expand an existing use that's already currently on site. Again, it's not a use that is a that's not an intense use. And what I mean by that is one of the eight conditions or statements, the reasons why the Planning Commission denied the application was that it was stated that the CR1 is the most intense zoning district in the county. And I'm not sure what the Planning Commission's definition of intense is. I would view heavy industrial as the intense use, the one of the most intense uses, because if you look at the zoning code, if you look at the permitted uses within a heavy industrial, it takes you back to light industrial 1, light industrial, or limited industrial 1, limited industrial 2. And if you look at all those uses, I would view those as the most intense uses within the county for zoning. That's why there's very few, I imagine that's why there's very few industrial applications coming before you and very few industrial parcels within the county. So I'm not sure what the Planning Commission was getting at when they stated that it was maybe he meant that it was the most intense commercial zoning, but that's not how he stated it. He stated it as that it was the most intense zoning district in the county. And again, I think over the years, as the zoning has changed within the county, C1 was intense because you could get 12, C1 allowed you 12 units to the acre plus the commercial on top of it. The Village at Five Points is the perfect example of that, where they came in with 12 units per the acre for residential, and then they proposed and will construct all that commercial that went along with it. So they were able to take kind of two bites of that apple, whereby they were able to get both. That was an intense zoning when you can combine 12 units the acre on top of a lot of square footage for commercial. CR1 came out, you closed the C1 district, you approved the CR1 district where you removed the residential aspect of it. If you want residential in CR1, you have to come back and ask for a conditional use that allows the county to apply conditions, restrict densities at that point. So I don't see that that was the most intense zoning district and one of the reasons for the denial for this application.
Quick question on planning zoning's point number 7 for denial. As I read this and what they've stated, and I'm trying to get your feel for why would they have said this, and that is, the proposed project does not meet the purpose of the zoning ordinance since the proposed rezoning will not promote the orderly growth. That's a statement that is here. You're just expanding a current building, right?
That's correct.
You're just expanding, so that seems pretty orderly. Convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of Sussex County and its residents. Why would they make this claim as to be a reason to deny it?
Mr. Arley, I'm not sure. Again, I was asked no questions. When I presented my application at the Planning and Zoning Commission, not one Planning Commission, there was four, Mr. Ross was absent from there. Not one question was asked. They understood my application as I presented it, and I presented it so that it would meet the purpose of the zoning district by orderly growth, prosperity, and order. What we're asking to do is just expand an existing facility, again, on the site. They need 6 acres to do that. They're currently on 3.8. The additional 4 acres would serve that purpose to help them expand that facility and not move off-site. It serves the area. It's building supply of Delmarva. Windows, doors, siding. They serve the residential neighborhood. It's building supplies. You need a part for your window, you're going to go there. I don't know why they made that statement. That's why I wanted to address those, and I've been addressing them, is because I think that the findings that they used, I'm not going to say that they were invalid, but I don't think that they fully took in what I presented as part of the application at the hearing. And then, sure, Mr. Griffin did give a good opposition, but again, he took my presentation from my booklet, which he has every right to do because I submit this thing 10 days prior to the hearing, and it was partialized. He partialed it, but meaning he took portions of it, and which I guess was whatever what he wanted to do as part of his opposition. That statement there, I don't know. There's several others here when they talk about significant opposition against the application. At the hearing, there was one opposition. It was Mr. Griffin. They talked about at the hearing, at the close of the hearing, about the adjacent neighbor, being that there's an adjacent residential neighbor next door. It's Mr. Davison who sold the 4 acres to my client. And I stated on the record that night that Mr. Davison had no objection, and Ms. Cornwell just read into the record an email I received from Mr. Lomas that he received from Mr. Davison that he doesn't have objection, but he does want to see certain things that Mr. Lomas for the property, such as a concrete block fenced wall, meaning building a huge building on that site and blocking his wall. And Mr. Lomas, being a local businessman, he's been in the area and he does own several commercial facilities. He's well known, so he's not going to sit there and build something that's going to be detrimental to the neighbors. So again, those are the concern. That statement there, along with the untimely condition of scattering of commercial zoning. Again, this isn't spot zoning. We're just adjacent to, and then there's several other adjacent in the along that side of the street commercial properties. I talked about the comp plan and the future comp plan. I talked about the existing comp plan and the future comp plan. I know that future comp plan's in draft format, but it was brought up by the opposition. And it was also brought up in the very beginning discussion when Mr. Wheatley made the recommendation for denial, the discussion on Route 9 through the land use process, the comp plan update, not to have more heavily populated areas along U.S. Route 9. The reason I turned in that future land use plan, although it is in draft format, it does show that both sides of that road is being proposed right now, currently, and again, that could change when you go to sign the final, that is being proposed for a development area. So in closing, and lastly, I would like to just kind of point out, again, at the hearing, I wasn't asked any questions. I thought the Planning Commission had understood the exact application. Again, I don't understand the 8 reasons why they denied the application. I'm not sure how all that played in, it kind of falls in, it doesn't fall in line to as how I prepared my application and presented it before the Planning Commission. But it was 4-0 that they did turn us down. The chairman, Mr. Ross, was not present, and then the county's attorney, the planning zoning attorney, had to recuse himself. But in light of that, there's a report that was prepared by the planning staff. And these are your professional land planners. And it's a letter that's been made part of the record. It's in the file. It's in the exhibit book. It's this letter here. In that letter, it talks about Ms. Cornwell, your director, talks about the surrounding land use to the north, south, and east, talking about it being in a low-density area. And it talks, the focus of retail and office should provide convenience goods and services to nearby residents and should be limited in their location, size, hours of operation. I can tell you that Building Supply Delmarva, Monday through Friday, I believe 8:30 to 4:30, They're closed on Sundays. They have limited hours on Saturday. I think they close at noontime on Saturday. So that's according to the, their website. I went on their website and looked and see what they're building, what their hours of operation. So they're not that intensive a use to in the area. But finally, on the letter that was written and given to, it's the staff analysis, and it was given to the Planning Commission. They had this at their, for their uses. It said, based on the analysis of the land use, surrounding zoning and uses, the change of zone from AR1 to CR1 would be considered consistent with the land use, surrounding zoning and uses. So with that, I'll conclude, and I'll open it up for any questions. I mean, I'll take any questions that you might have that you haven't asked me already. And but that was submitted as part of the record that came from your staff to the Planning Commission. And in light of this, that's why I found it very difficult when I heard about these eight conditions, how they denied this, that they kind of ignored their own planning staff and their recommendations for the application. So with that, that's the conclusion of my presentation.
Any questions from council?
I got one question. It's really for Janelle. And it really is on the adjoining site, right? If that is demolished, he made a statement that they would have to adhere to the newer setbacks and the newer code. So if is that true? Is that if
so if they plan on doing anything on the new parcel, they would have to comply with the current regulations and requirements of the not just the county's zoning ordinance, but also all of the other agencies' requirements.
But the site next door, if it's combined, does that, if they demolish the site, do they go back to the current, do they have to adhere to the current setback?
Yeah, if they're going to demolish the buildings and they rebuild, they would have to, unless variances were requested and granted, they would have to comply with current zoning and setbacks and requirements.
And stormwater management.
And DLDOT and Fire Marshal and all of the other agencies.
On a complete demo, even if they left the frame of a door,
they can't just leave the frame of the door. But if they're going to start from scratch and start all over, they would comply with the current regulations.
Okay.
Just further add to that, and that is correct, but even if they were to add on, they can't further, even though this building is sitting much further than the 60-foot setback, that's currently the front setback for the for commercial zoning, any additions to this would have to meet the new, we couldn't expand upon, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Gordon, but we couldn't expand upon that setback close to the highway like it is right now. We would have to set back 60 feet, begin the expansion of the existing building if any additions were needed for that existing building. So we couldn't expand upon what's already there.
Okay.
But yes, the new setbacks would have to be adhered to.
Any other questions from council?
Entrances, I guess you'd probably haven't had to do anything with entrances. Would you share an entrance?
Yes.
There wouldn't be a new entrance created,
that
or there would
correct.
Be an yep. old one abolished and a new one created or something, but there would only still be one entrance to these two parcels.
Yes, that's correct. And what happened was when we did the rezoning for the existing commercial property, the back half back in 2011, we did do a traffic impact study, and one of the comments that came for the traffic impact study was that then one entrance would be allowed for all those parcels. We would have to work with those other parcels to get that one entrance. D-cell lanes, right turn lanes, left turn lanes, shoulder expansions, and pedestrian walkways would have to all be part of the design.
Any other questions? If not, thank you. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here today that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Mr. Griffin?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good to see you all again. My name is Jim Griffin. My address is 18543 Fox Field Lane, Lewis, Delaware, 19958. And I will try to show you where my property is.
Here, she's doing it for you. Go ahead. Right. See the hand? Right.
Goes back to, this is my back property line. And it's about 18 acres. It has a house, a barn, two pole sheds, and some running sheds for our horses. And we've been there since 1999, I believe. And we object to CZ 1839, which is the application just spoken to by Mr. Davidson. We're joined in our opposition by a number of other residents in the immediate area who have signed a petition, and I'll hand in copies of that. I think there are 43 signatures.
Thank you.
You have in your the applicant's presentation booklet the proposed findings of fact, and I'll use that as a guide for the rest of my comments. The applicant apparently purchased this 4 acres of vacant ag land in 2016, so less than 2 years ago. At the time of the purchase, that 4 acres was zoned AR1 and still is. As you know, people who want to protect themselves when they're buying a piece of property, if they have in mind that they want to do a specific thing with it, will build into the contract a condition that it not be, they don't have to buy it unless they can get the zoning category they want. The applicant in this case didn't do that, so he bought with full knowledge that it was zoned AR1, that it was in a low density area currently, and that it is in an investment level 4 as far as the spending area. On proposed finding of fact number 3, talks about the adjacency to the parcel that is the current location of Builder Supply of Delmarva. Builder Supply of Delmarva is a tenant, they're not the landowner. Before they moved out there, they were in Georgetown in the old ice house where is now Habitat Restore. On the south side of Route 9 is where Habitat for Humanity opened a restore there. That's typically, that's about the only commercial in that area on the south side. The property where Builder Supply of Delmarva is was formerly owned by Jerry Little, who I believe had a fence company there, and he's the gentleman who got the C1 zoning on the first part of that quite a number of years ago. If you look at the history of what is marked in red on the north side, it's more or less a situation of a lot of things that happened some time ago. Where Steele's Gun Shop is, that was, I believe, Walt Reifsnyder's. He had like an art museum and a framing business there. And where Beeman's Antiques is now, that was Robin Reifsnyder's home, and he had like a little conglomerate of antique consignment type things, and that's still in that same usage. But the builders built the gun shop is a more intense use than the art museum and framing store. So the tendency is that when something gets to be a commercial type use, that the use becomes more intense. We're told that Builder Supply of Delmarva serves the area. If you look on their website, you'll soon see that they don't really say that they're a convenience-type business serving the immediate residents of the area. Their website says they are the largest Anderson window supplier on the Eastern Shore and the largest supplier of building materials in Eastern Sussex County. So, as we can see, they are a regional business, not a local business. If you look at proposed finding of fact number 5, I believe, that pretty much contains more reasons to deny this application than to approve it. It is an admission that the property is in a low-density area where any business development should serve the needs of nearby residents by providing convenience, goods, and services. So that does not make a good argument for approval of this application. The Table 8 that Mr. Davidson spoke to, I don't really see that is helpful to their application. Pardon me. It's this document, and he has circled both, or somebody has circled both, the low-density side and then the CR1 side for the zoning district. The two uses, AR1 and CR1, aren't really compatible, and I don't think the chart is telling us that CR1 uses are appropriate in AR1 zone areas, although we have been told that there are several commercial uses on the north side, and that's true. I don't think that the fact that he is expanding an existing business should override the fact that the vast majority of the uses in this immediate area are residential, as opposed to commercial. Mr. Davidson says that in number 6 of his proposed findings of fact, that seems to be saying that because Route 9 is a major collector road and this 4 acres is on a major road, that makes the case for this to be an appropriate area for a commercial use. That's only significant if you look at the comprehensive 2008 comp plan update. That's only significant if you're designated as a growth area, but this is not designated as a growth area. It's a low density area in a level 4 investment. And on page 3.9 of the 2008 comp plan update, where it lists those factors that he says are appropriate, the heading is growth areas. Again, this is not a growth area. And it talks about, and even if it were a growth area, it's saying that this is where we want our most concentrated form of new development, including higher density residential and most business development. Again, the residents of the area are saying through their petition that they don't think this is an appropriate location. Paragraph 7 of the findings of fact says that the area where the applicant's 4 acres are located, they do say that they are identified as an investment level 4 in the Delaware Strategies for State Spending document. That's the lowest priority for infrastructure development. And investment level 4 says it is the intent to discourage additional development in investment level 4 areas unrelated to the area's needs. So what they're saying is development in level 4 areas should be directly related to the needs of the people who live there. and it goes ahead to say it will be done through consistent policy decisions and limiting infrastructure investment, while recognizing that infrastructure and development investments are appropriate where state and local governments agree that such actions are necessary to address unforeseen circumstances involving public health, safety, or welfare. Approving of this application is not necessary to address unforeseen circumstances involving public health, safety, or welfare. If you look at the types of rural areas in the 2000 comp plan update under low density, it says all lands designated as low density are currently zoned AR1. And using these zoning regulations and additional incentives, Sussex County hopes to retain the rural environment of low density areas and set aside significant open spaces. And then under major guidelines, it says the primary uses envisioned in low density areas are agricultural activities and single family detached homes. Business development should be largely avoided.
Did you just say business development?
It says it should be largely avoided in a low density area. Paragraph 8 of the findings of fact says the proposed rezoning from AR1 to CR1 meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance. I disagree with that statement. In order for that to be true, it would have to be an appropriate location. It would have to be a growth area, not a low density area. That statement in paragraph 8 of the applicant's presentation is taken directly from the purpose clause for CR1. What we should be looking at here is the purpose clause for AR1. So what the applicant is saying is that their AR zoned 4 acres qualifies for CR1 zoning because it's on Route 9 and meets the purposes of the ordinance. But their definition of the purposes of the ordinance was interpreted through the lens of it being in a growth area. In effect, the applicant is given what I consider to be a tortured interpretation of the standard for determining when a change of zone to CR1 is warranted. If you look at the purpose clause for AR1, which this land is, it says to provide for low density single family residential development together with churches, recreational facilities, accessory uses as may be necessary or compatible with residential surroundings. The AR regulations seek to prevent untimely scattering of more dense urban uses, which should be confined to areas that are planned for the efficient extension of public services. Although the land in this area is part of a public water company certificate of public convenience and necessity, it's not part of a planned area for the extension of county sewer that at least I'm aware of that would be provided within the next 5 years. So essentially what it comes down to is the applicant's asking you to upzone this 4 acres of ag land that he bought less than 2 years ago, but because there are about 4 other commercially zoned properties in the area. If you did that, you'd be overlooking the fact that this is a low density area where commercial is not appropriate. You'd be overlooking the fact that the business wants to expand does not serve the needs of those who live in the immediate area, but rather the entire Eastern Shore, which involves part of Maryland as well. It's in an investment level 4 the lowest of the spending map priorities. We're asking you to consider what is allowed in an AR1 zoned property, for an AR1 zoned property, and to preserve that area. As you can see, if you approve this, there's going to be like a Chinese wall of commercial right across from what is pretty much all residential. I believe the traffic counts that were mentioned in 2016 were about 19,000 cars per day. I think if that were updated, it would be well over 20, and that's on a summer day. Getting out of my lane sometimes in the summer takes up to 10 minutes. He would have almost 8 acres of commercial land. You can build a very large complex of commercial on 8 acres. The applicant, who is the owner of the land, not the person who has a business there himself, he leases it out. If you are not familiar with this property, if you go and look at the Builder Supply of Delmarva property, you'll find that once you get let's speak first about the front of it. You can see that the building does not occupy the entire frontage, probably about half the frontage. And when you get back behind the building, that entire, what looks to be about another 2 acres behind the building, is not developed. There's a mobile home back there that's rented, but you could do a lot more intense usage of this existing commercial zone, 4 acres, without expanding into the 4 acres of ag land that was purchased without any guarantee that it could become commercial. The people that signed the petition live on the south side. They live primarily within this area and over in this area and over in this area. This is a Tall Pines mobile home park. It has 91 units and 700 seasonal campgrounds. So if you add up the number of single family units of one form or another, you'll see that it's well over 100. And I don't think the argument that we're just trying to expand in an additional, an existing use should take the day when it would require you to ignore the fact that this is a low density area, investment level 4, and there's already a traffic issue there. Up where Beeman's Antiques is the crest of the hill. There's a swale, basically the road goes down into a dip and it doesn't level back out until you get almost down to Steele's Gun Shop. And that's consistent with the fact that Mr. Davidson said this vacant lot is very low. It's true. It's been in agricultural use last 20 years. But there's already an issue there with people making safe moves of traffic, because you have to sort of take a chance. If somebody, you can start out, and if you're pulling a horse trailer or something, as I often do, a car can quickly run up on you. And if I'm coming from Five Points in Lewis to turn left into my driveway on a summer day, you're holding your breath to make sure no one rear ends you, because it's pretty intense in that area. And in the early morning and late afternoon, even now, the traffic is extremely heavy with the flow of traffic to Georgetown and back to Lewis. So although I am not acting as an attorney for all those people who signed the petition, I am acting as a representative, a spokesperson for the people who live in the area in single family detached type dwellings and mobile homes. And we would respectfully ask that you uphold the recommendation of the Planning Commission.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Is there any questions from Council? If not, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If Council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. Okay, with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore to read a short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 4.0 acres more or less.
Pleasure, council.
Make a motion.
My.
Okay.
It's in my.
Your district, Mr. Burton.
My motion would be for deferral. I'd like to get with Everett, and I'd like a couple weeks for deferral on this application.
Motion, Mr. Burton, second, Mr. Cole, to defer. Questions on that motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
All yes, motion carried. Next, Mr. Moore.